Have a seat, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you, Dad. My dad's sitting right over here. Happy Father's Day. We're just excited that you're here at South Lansing Christian Church. My name is Frank, and I'm the preacher here, and we're just really having a great weekend so far. We've had Dad Fest over the weekend. How many of you camped out here last night? Where are you at? Where are you at? Yes, we smell you. Yes, put your hand down. Yeah, you guys camped out overnight. That was awesome. We had a great time. We got to see a canine unit from Lansing Police Department, and Star Dogs Astronomy was here, and we had hot dogs and marshmallows. And listen, if you're a mom, I want you to be reassured what went on last night. Absolutely everything you wouldn't approve of. I mean, We thought about, hey, let's make this a really highly organized event. But if it was a really highly organized event, it would be called Mom Fest, right? And so last night was Dad Fest, which is like sugar them up and nitrates and hot dogs and Mountain, all jacked up on Mountain Dew. And then we're going to send them home to you. And we're taking a nap today because it's Father's Day, all right? So, hey, listen, on your way in, men, you should have gotten a Slim Jim. Dads, let me see your Slim Jim. Did you get one? Dad, if you did not get a Slim Jim, you wave your hand up in the air. So we're talking dads, we're talking stepdads, we're talking, like, if you're maybe an uncle, you're important in some kid's life, right? You raise your hand, and we are Slim Jimming you. Josh wanted to come in and do his Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation because of Slim Jim. Oh, yeah. But he's not here. So one of you lucky dads, on the back it says winner, winner. We were going to write loser on the other 119, but it'd take too much time. One of you, it says winner. Where are you at? Where's the winner? Raise your hand. Wave your hand. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Where? Yeah, come on up here. Come on up here. Come here, John. John's a winner. Yeah. One lucky dad. So, John, here's what you win. This is a prize package. It's not just a prize. This is a prize package. And it's, I know, right? What? It's your birthday? Oh, man. Wow, that's awesome. Happy birthday. Yeah. Yeah, you're like, what, 41 in holding. That's awesome. It says here that it says, keep calm and daddy on, right? It says, most valuable dad, and the winner, here's what you get, prize package now. Not a prize, but a prize package. That's right. You get one coffee date with Wally Loman at Strange Matter Coffee. Yes. I haven't told him yet, but I'll let him know. You get a day of fishing with Josh Antonopoulos.
That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I said, Josh, would it be okay if I pay you to go fishing with somebody for a day? And he's like, yeah. So then you get an outing with me at the Chief Okemos Sportsman's Club we're going to go shoot stuff, and that'll be fun. And then this is it. This is the thing, though, right? This is the creme de la creme, or the creme de la donut, right? You get... Yeah, that's what you need. You're 41. Celebrate. You get a year's worth of donuts. It got real, didn't it? It just got real. You get a year's worth of donuts, one each Sunday, compliments of the Oasis back here. So there you go, my man. Yeah, happy Father's Day, pal. Yeah, absolutely. So Father's Day is a good day. In some ways, it's a bittersweet day. If you've lost your dad, or maybe your kids are far away, I mean, it can be a good day and it can be a hard day. This week, my wife and I had one of those kind of difficult parenting moments. You know, they never told us that when your kids get older and graduate that you don't stop parenting. I was always like, okay, well, they're all moving out, and so good. We can just, you know, party all the time. But it doesn't work that way. We continue to parent, and it's sometimes challenging. Like this week, we got a call. I think it was Thursday morning, maybe Wednesday morning. We got a call, and it was one of those deals where my daughter lives in Australia. Many of you know that she's a missionary there in Australia. She works with the refugee children, the children of refugees from Burma, Sierra Leone, Afghanistan. And so these kids come to Australia, and she helps them become Australian, which is kind of ironic, right? Because she's not. But she helps them kind of navigate that sort of transition into Western culture. And she does this thing. I don't know. We'll have to edit this part out of the audio. But so she does this thing, right, where she calls just before she goes to bed. Now, they're like, it's tomorrow already there, I think. It's already tomorrow. It's already Monday there. It kind of blows my mind. I can't figure it out. But it's already tomorrow there. So when she calls me at 11 o'clock her time, guess what it is our time? 6 a.m. or something like that. 5, 6, I don't know. I don't even look at the clock that early. So she calls this week at 6:32 a.m. I know this because I looked at my iPhone, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, some of you are morning people. You get up, right? You know who you are. You really annoy the rest of us. And so some of you are morning people. I'm not a morning person. So I look at my phone. I'm like 6:32. And I you know what I nearly did? I nearly am like, if she'll call back, right? I nearly put it down, right? But then I don't know. Maybe it's this 60-60 thing and trying to be present to God and God, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of. And so I'm like, okay, I swiped it to the right, and and it was immediate. I said, hello. It was kind of like, oh, right? And I hear, Dad, and tears in her voice. And I'm instantly awake, right? You know what I mean? Instantly awake. Bolt, sit right up, sit up in bed. My wife, Tracy, boom, she's awake. We're instantly awake. So what happened was she had been volunteering at an asylum seeker dinner at the church where her office is located. And someone had left a back door open. A thief snuck in through the back door and just stole all her stuff. Stole her computer, stole her purse, credit cards, debit cards, cash, keys, everything. Basically everything but her passport, which was locked up at home. ID, all of that stuff. Just stole all that stuff. And you know, when you feel violated when something, if you ever had something stolen from you, you know what I'm talking about. You feel violated. But for her, there was also this fear. Because now this person knows where I live. They've got the keys to my car. They've got the keys to my house. Single woman, 10,000 miles from home. And that was hard. I mean, you talk about a dad, and what are you going to do? 10,000 miles from home. I want to get on an airplane and go all CSI on that dude, find out who it was, you know, and take him out in the love of Jesus. And so, yeah, it was a bad deal, right? Well, someone said, hey, are you going to have a GoFundMe account? You're going to do a little fundraiser to, you know, help Abby out. And so I put together a GoFundMe on Facebook. And if you've ever done that, you know what that's about. Matter of fact, I've got another. If you're using YouVersion today, there's another of our millennial missionaries that has a need that I put on there for you today. And you can actually go to our YouVersion and help that student out, Ellery. So I put together this GoFundMe thing, and I said, okay, she needs $1,499 to replace her computer. Within 24 hours, over $2,000 had been gifted to Abby to replace her computer, to change the locks on the car, to change the locks on her apartment. And I got to tell you, I've often felt loved by the South Lansing Christian Church. Tracy and I, we really feel loved and accepted and embraced by this church. But when you love my kid, it goes to a whole new level. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Parents, right? You know what I'm talking about. When you love my kid, that's when it goes to a whole new level. And I really, really feel loved. It's one thing to tell someone that you love them, but it's another thing to demonstrate that you love that person by loving their kids. And we just really felt that this week. Imagine telling someone that you love him or that you love her. You know, maybe it's romantic love or maybe it's brotherly love, right? But imagine telling someone that you love him or that you love her, and then in the next moment being unkind to that person's children. You know, if somebody says to me, hey, Frank, I love you, man, I appreciate that, right? I accept that. I receive that. I feel affirmed by that. If someone says, I love you, I feel grateful for that and I'm encouraged. But if the next day I find out that that person who says, hey, Frank, I love you, has in some way been cruel to my children, I immediately know that that person's love is a sham. Because you can't say that you love me and then be unloving to my children. Right? Are you with me? Are you with me? This means yes, this means no, right? You cannot say that you love me and then in the next breath be unloving toward my children. Here's the thing. How often do we still do that? How often do we do that? We started 2 weeks ago this experiment called the 60-60 experiment, where we're reading through a book together by John Burke. A book's called Soul Revolution. And many of us have configured maybe our cell phone, or you went out and bought a watch that beeps every hour. You've got your computer, a reminder. I know some people just even have an egg timer at home. And the idea is that every 60 minutes, there's a reminder that beeps or dings to remind us to be present to God. So that every 60 minutes, we're saying, okay, God, here I am. I want to be present to you. Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want for me? What do you want from me? And the object is we're trying to live moment by moment in God's presence. And by the way, it's not too late to get in on this experiment. You can absolutely do that. You can find information about it at our website, seekstudyserve.org, or you can just contact us at the church office or see one of us afterward, and we'll fill you in on all the details. And if you're doing that, if you're sensing God's presence, if you're saying, okay, every 60 minutes I want to be present to God, I want to be available to God, if you're doing that, then you're probably already by now experiencing a greater closeness to God. Somehow it just feels like God is near. Maybe you can't wrap your arms around why that is. But if you're doing that and you're beginning to experience a greater closeness with God, here's the next thing. I want you to be aware of this now. You are going to experience some challenges. You're going to have some difficulties. It's just a matter of time. There are going to be situations where you encounter someone who is unkind. Maybe there's going to be someone at work who is going to start making your life difficult for you. Maybe there's going to be a friend who is decidedly unfriendly. Maybe there's going to be a neighbor who's going to make you want to build a privacy fence, right? Just a matter of time. And try as you might to love that person, at times, it can almost seem impossible. And so we're going to talk about that today. In fact, today is part one of a two-part sermon. Part one today, part two next week. So I hope you come back next week. Here's what we're going to do. Today we're going to talk about the ought to. Because I think every good sermon has an ought to and a how to. Today is going to be the ought to, and the second half of the sermon next week is going to be the how to. And here's the bottom line. Here's the ought to. Here's what I want you to walk out of here with today. You ready? Here's the ought to. You can't love God without loving people. They go together. You cannot love God without loving people. One of Jesus' first followers was a man named John. John was a fisherman. Jesus called him to be one of his disciples. And so John went along with his brother James and several others to follow Jesus. There were actually 12 of them who walked with Jesus, ate with, slept with, journeyed with for 3 years. They were with Jesus, just watching him, listening to him, learning from him, seeing who God is, based on their firsthand observance of God's Son. And so John and his brother James were nicknamed by Jesus the Sons of Thunder. Kind of a cool name, really, right? I love that name. They're called the Sons of Thunder because of their hot temper. You know, they're bombastic. It doesn't take too much imagination to realize why these guys are called the Sons of Thunder. One of the things we learn about John is that he lived longer than any of those other 11 followers of Jesus. In fact, we're not sure exactly how old he was when he died, and the Bible doesn't tell us how old he was when he died, but tradition says that John died a natural death. While Judas, one of Jesus' followers, hung himself, and the other 10 followers were all martyred, according to tradition, they were killed for their faith, Tradition says that John died a natural death living in exile on an island. And here's what's really interesting. You get to sort of trace John's life through the Bible. You get to sort of watch him as this sort of bombastic, temperamental, loud, selfish, brash person that you read about in the four biographies that we have of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then by the time he begins writing letters of his own, he wrote some letters to churches, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. By the time he writes these letters, you see him now transformed into this patient, compassionate, kind, and loving individual. In one of those letters, 1 John, he focuses on this idea of love, what love is, what love looks like, what love does. And from that today, you and I can learn that you cannot love God without loving people. So if you got your Bible, you can turn to 1 John chapter 4. It's going to be on the screen behind me. You can follow along using our app. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. John says, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. That's pretty intense language, right? I don't like being called a liar. John says, you know what? If you say you love God, but you don't love your brother or sister, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother or sister, you're a liar. Now, there's always one in every crowd. Probably it's not you, so you just relax. You don't have to pay attention to this part. It's probably not you. It's somebody else. There's always one in every crowd who looks for a loophole. You know what I'm saying? They read that and they're like, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother is a liar. Well, I don't really hate my brother. I'm just sort of, you know, lukewarm. There's always one in every crowd that looks for a loophole. Or, you know, they go and they read this and they say, okay, well, you know what? I have three siblings. I have two sisters and a brother. And I love them all. And so I'm good to go. I love God. I love my siblings. Case closed, right? They look for the loophole. Or they're thinking biological brother. As long as I love my biological brother and sister, I'm good to go with this command. Or there's going to be someone who thinks, okay, we're talking about Christian brother and sister. We're talking about people who are part of God's family. And I love everybody at my church, everybody that I know. I love the people at my church. And so God says, John says, if you love God, you got to love your brother and sister. And I love the people at my church, so I'm good to go. But I think maybe John's talking about more than just the people who attend the same church. In fact, if you back up a couple of verses to 1 John 4:10, John gives us a definition of love. He helps us to understand what love is like, and this definition can inform then our understanding of Jesus' command here. 1 John 4:10, this is real love. You ready? Some of you have been waiting for this your whole life. Figure out what real love is. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's what real love is. Now you got to remember, in fact, Paul writes this, that God loved us before we loved him, and that he sent his son Jesus for us. God loves you before you love him, right? That's who God is. So what I want you to understand is, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, God loved you before you chose to follow Jesus. And he sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin. If you're not yet a Christ follower, you're checking out who is this Jesus, you're trying to understand what this idea of faith is all about, this is a great place for you to do that. But here's what I want you to know. Even if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for all the mistakes that you make. In fact, just skip ahead a few verses. 1 John 4:19, John says, we love you, me, we love because God first loved us. God demonstrates his love to us. So when you go looking for loopholes in that command, okay, whoever says he loves God but hates his brother and sister is a liar. Well, you go looking for loopholes and trying to narrowly define who is a brother and sister. What you need to understand is that God's definition of love is not narrow. God's definition of love is broad. God loves all his children. And so should we. That's where it gets real. So should we. We should love all of God's children. We should love people who are different than us. We should love people who don't have the same values and morals as we do. We should love people who go into a nightclub in Orlando, even if we don't believe the things that they believe or pursue the lifestyle, if that's not, you know, we should love those people. And that's why what happened last week is so deplorable and abhorrent to people who love God, because it is so anti-God. We love because God first loved us. And you cannot love God without loving people. It's just as simple as that. And so John says this in 1 John 4:20. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. In other words, the evidence that you love this invisible God that we serve, the evidence that you love this God whom you cannot see, is that you act in ways that are loving toward his children whom you can see. When Abigail had her experience this last week, and people that I don't even know were donating money toward her, and I think some of them were Australian folks. So I'm reading, you know, in the GoFundMe where people whose names I don't know are giving money to that. I'm going to tell you something. I don't even know that person. That person's never seen me. That person doesn't know me. But that person was acting in ways that are loving towards me. Why? Because he, she was loving my child. And so John says, if, you know, whoever doesn't love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have seen. And then he goes on. Here's what John says now. You ready? He says, and God has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister when they deserve it. I'm sorry. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister when they're sure their love will be reciprocated. Sorry. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister when your parents are watching you, right? How much wiggle room do we have in this command? I know most of you aren't this way, but there's one or two of you looking for loopholes, all right? How much wiggle room is there in this command? Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister, period. End of sentence. You can't love God without loving people. You just can't. You might think you can. You might say you can. You might wish it were that way. You might pretend it's that way, but it ain't that way. You can't love God without loving people. Now remember, today is the ought to. Today is the ought to. You ought to love people because you can't love God without loving people, right? You ought to love people. Then here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to come back next week. Will you come back next week? Say yes if you're going to come back next week. Okay, I got you locked in. You better be here, all right? Because next week is the how-to. This week is the ought-to. An ought-to is pretty useless without a how-to. But in the meantime, here's what I want you to do this week. Whenever the beep goes off, right? And some of you got the Hallelujah Chorus on your little app. I hear it, right? But whenever the beep goes off on your app or the beep goes off on your phone, what I want you to do is ask, God, is there someone you want me to love right now? God, is there someone you want me to demonstrate your love to right now? Because you can't love God without loving people. And here's what you're going to find. I just know this is going to happen. Some of you, you're going to come back next week and you'll be like, Pastor, you just are so annoying. Right? Here's what's going to happen. That beep is going to go off at some of the most inopportune times in the next week. I mean, really challenging times. This is going to be super annoying. I'm so excited for you guys. It's going to be, so what's going to happen is the stress levels are going to be high at the office and everybody's going to be amped up and it's, you know, end of quarter, end of month or whatever, and everybody's cranky and the boss is the boss, or maybe you're the boss and the employees are, you know, and everybody's going to be, and the stress levels are going to be high and you're just going to get ready to go full scale Dwight Schrute on everybody and beep, or the Hallelujah chorus is going to play on your phone and you'd be like, seriously, I got to love these people? Or, I know this never happens because you guys all have marriages like Ward and June Cleaver, but I know that there's something going to happen this week. You're going to get home from work or the office or the plant, and your husband is going to be, you know, going through menopause, and or you're just going to be really, you know, it's going to be right, and everybody's tense, and you're just going to get home, and you know, you're just ready to lay into each other. It's like, you know how it is some days with you and your wife or you and your husband? It's like rubbing the fur the wrong way on the cat. You know what I'm talking about? It's just that, it's going to be that kind of day, right? And you're just getting ready to go, and beep. And it's, you got to ask yourself, if I love God, then I guess I have to love my spouse. If I love Jesus, if I say I love Jesus, but I don't love my wife, I'm a liar. If I say I love God, but I don't love my husband, I'm a liar. Or maybe it's your sister or your brother. I know we have students here. You know, we have people who aren't married, right? And it's your sister, and you want to play Call of Duty, and she wants to play, I don't know, Dora the whatever, right? And, you know, you want the controller, and she wants the controller, and you're arguing over the Netflix, right? And you're just getting ready to start pounding on one another over what you're going to watch on Netflix. And beep! Oh, I'm supposed to love her. Okay. Or the person in line in front of you is so slow. I had that this morning. I'm like, I was in line at McDonald's and the person in front of me was ordering via Morse code. Beep, 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 beep. I'm like, slowest line ever. And I was just getting ready to pull out. I was just getting, you know, because if you haven't ordered yet, you can bail out. You know what I'm talking about, right? I was turning the wheel to the right and beep. I'm like, seriously, God? Fine. Right? Or it's going to be, you know, the person in front of you desperately needs driving lessons and you're really tempted to provide them, whatever. It's going to be something this week where you're just going to be ready to go. It's going to be go time and you're all cranked up and the energy's high. And just before you get ready to go, it's going to be beep. And you're going to think, if I say I love God, but I don't love people, then I'm a liar. Because you can't love God if you don't love people. So all week long, when you hear that beep, what I want you to ask is, God, how can I love this person? How do you want me to love him? How do you want me to love her? And here's the beauty of it. You can start right now. You can start right now. Because John starts this whole paragraph about love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Here's how John starts this whole section about love. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And so perhaps a great place for you to start today would be at this communion table. Our worship team is going to lead us in some songs. And as they do, you're going to have the opportunity to get up from your seat and go to one of these six tables with the burgundy tablecloths throughout the room and to just eat some bread that reminds you of what John writes here, that Jesus' body was an atoning sacrifice. To drink some juice that reminds you that Jesus' blood was an atoning sacrifice for us, and that because of Jesus' body and blood, because of his death on the cross, we can be forgiven. He demonstrated his love that way. And so as you come to the table today, maybe you could just pause an extra moment or two and ask God, God, who do you want me to love this week? Let's pray. Father, your son Jesus reminds us that we're called to love one another. We're called to love the people that we like, and we're called to love the people that we don't like. We're called to love people who are similar to us, and we're called to love people who are different than us. You remind us, Lord, that we're called to love the people that we know the best, and we're called to love people that we've not yet met. Lord, we repent as a church for all the times when we as your followers have not been loving, when we haven't exhibited love. And we ask, Lord, for you to forgive us and to help us love in such a way that the South Lansing Christian Church is characterized by love. That when people hear our name, they will think, those are those people who love like Jesus does. God, just help us to be those kinds of people. Help us to start today. Help us to start individually right now, one by one, as we write the next chapter in our faith story, Lord. Let it be titled Love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. And as we sing, you can come and receive this gift.